Changing minds one thought at a time. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Changing Minds Online Empowering Mindset Call. This is Jessica. How are you doing tonight, Akina?
I am great, Jessica. I am super excited to talk about our topic for the day. Can you let them know what we're talking about tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a really, really important topic. We put it in the mindset portion of our call for a reason. Tonight, we're going to welcome on someone who's just really, truly, I just got to know this person. I'm already impressed and inspired by him. I was listening to other radio stations, other blog talk radio stations, because I wanted to connect with really amazing people, and I connected with this person. He has a blog talk radio station called The Transformation Zone. And as soon as I started to listen to it, I said, we must have him on our call, on our Empowering Mindset call. And he was gracious enough to accept. I was very impressed when I first started speaking to him. He's coming out with a book later this year called Leadership 52, where he's going to give the secrets and tips that every leader needs to know to create an environment of success. Now, leadership is something we've never spoken about yet on Changing Minds Online, and it is really a privilege and it's an honor to welcome Belton Shawell on the call tonight as he talks about the mindset of a leader. Welcome, Belton.
Well, thank you very, very much. I'm very honored to be here with you ladies, and I appreciate you having me on as your guest this evening.
It is absolutely our privilege. So when you think about leadership, and I know that you are an expert in really creating leaders and training people to be leaders, when we think about the mindset that's required to be a leader, what do you think about and what does it take?
Well, it's interesting because everybody is a leader. We're all born leaders, even if the only person that we're leading is ourselves. We have to lead ourselves down the right path. And one of the things about a leader is even though you are making decisions and you are doing some things that are on the cutting edge, you have to be a student. You have to be willing to learn. There's an old saying that says, before you lead, you have to learn to follow. And follow doesn't always mean following someone down a path, but it's looking at people that are doing things that are exceptional or that are doing things incredibly well and utilizing them as your images or the people that you aspire to take something from so that you can bring that into your own personality, your own style, and improve your ability to lead.
Wonderful. When you're speaking about leadership, what are some of the best qualities in a leader?
Well, it's interesting because I'm an avid reader, and I read a lot of quotes, and one of my favorite quotes is by Nelson Mandela. And Nelson says that it is best to lead from behind when things are going well and praise is being given out. True leaders step to the front in times of stress and in times of danger. And that really means that when people are being given accolades for good performance, people on your team that you're leading, put them in front. Let them reap the benefits of the accolades and the salutations. But when there are difficult decisions and difficult times that are around your team, you need to step to the forefront and really give your input, your knowledge, and your experience to help guide that team through those difficult times. And as a leader, that's really the key to a lot of it. Everybody wants to be recognized for doing outstanding things. But when things get tough, that's where the rubber meets the road. And I truly believe as leaders, we need to really focus on the big picture. and focus on helping our team do and become the best that they can be and allow them to be recognized for it.
I love that, Belton. You know, there are many different types of leaders, and as you said, some people lead from the front and some people lead from the back. Some people are supportive and some people are more analytical. Some people more are controlling. You'll see them in the really leading in the front of the room. How do you know what leadership style really suits you the best?
Well, if your leadership style really should be kind of like an amoeba, if you know what I mean. You really can't have a style that is unilaterally delegated across the board. And the reason that I say that is, as a leader, you have to be able to reach the people around you and your team. And everybody on your team is not the same. So the style that you use with one particular individual based on their knowledge, based on their experience, based on their personality, may not fit another member of the team. You know, as I said, leaders have to be students. And early in my career, I was sent to a course, and I'll never forget this course because it had such a major impact on me. It was called Situational Leadership. And it basically laid out your entire team into four quadrants. And those four quadrants basically were individuals on your team who needed a lot of guidance and a lot of direction. The next quadrant were people who needed less guidance, more direction. The third quadrant were people who needed a little bit of guidance, almost no guidance, but just a little direction. And the last were your most experienced people who need little guidance and little direction. And you were to basically plot your team on this particular bell curve and lead and manage your team based on where they fit. And so if you manage someone who is very experienced with a lot of direction and a lot of guidance and you're standing over them all the time and telling them what to do, you're going to lose that individual or they're going to rebel. Conversely, if you manage someone who is very, very new on your team, who doesn't have the knowledge, doesn't have the experience, is not sure of themselves, and you don't do anything to give them guidance or direction, they're going to fail miserably. So as a leader, you have to utilize your strategies, tactics, and techniques based on what fits the individual on your team. You know, I love quotes. Steve Jobs once said, We hire brilliant people, and we don't tell them what to do. They tell us what needs to be done. Well, we don't tell them how to do it. They show us what needs to be done. And as you hire the right people, which is another major point in leadership, is making sure that you surround yourself with experts. The best way to become an expert is to surround yourself with experts. So as you develop your team and as you build your team, you have to make sure that you've got the right people who have the initiative, who have the hunger, who have the thirst to be successful, and then give them the ability, give them the training, give them the tools for them to soar, and then get out of the way.
Wow, yes. You know, a lot of times in leadership, we encounter micromanagement. As you are familiar with, and they do not give them the tools for them to fly. So what is your take on micromanagement, and how can this be avoided?
Well, there are a couple of things that contribute to micromanagement. Number one is their own insecurity. Many times, because we are insecure in our own abilities and position, we superimpose that on the people around us. Secondly, we are not comfortable or confident with the players on our team. If I inherit a team and I am not comfortable or confident in the abilities of the players on the team, nor am I willing to take the time and invest the interest in their growth to being the kind of people that I want them to be, then I have to stand over them and become a task manager. You know, the first chapter in my book, Leadership 52, talks a little bit about this. It says, as a leader, you have to have a vision, not a task list. Because as a leader, a true leader, we have to communicate our vision to our team and let them tell us, as Steve Jobs said, how to accomplish it and what tasks need to be done to achieve our vision. If we're micromanaging, we're giving them direction. We're giving them play-by-play analysis, play-by-play direction on what to do and how to do it. And what ends up happening in most of those instances is we get overwhelmed because we've got too much on our plate, and now we're trying to take what's on somebody else's plate and manage that too. It's a recipe for failure because there are not enough hours a day. We have to be willing to let go and allow our people to do what we've hired them to do. So micromanagement is a really, really dangerous situation that a lot of our young managers and a lot of young entrepreneurs get into. You know, when I started my company a few years ago, I was an army of one. And I realized after a very short period of time that I couldn't do it all by myself. Even though I didn't bring on employees, I had to have a team of like-minded, achievement-driven professionals who wanted the same types of things that I wanted to partner with me to not only drive my business forward, but to drive their business forward at the same time. When you get in a situation like that, micromanagement goes out of the window.
I love that. One of the benefits of being an entrepreneur is in really learning to benefit from leverage. And we know that when, you know, obviously you're micromanaging and everything needs to be done by yourself, you wind up taking yourself out of your area of expertise and really wasting a lot of time doing things that you really can't benefit from, and you lose that leverage, which is such a huge benefit. And we find, and I found, that leaders who are good at delegating and understand how to leverage other people's time and let them do what they're good at, let them do what they're passionate about, are the ones who are the most successful. So in terms of growing your business, and we have a lot of people who call into these calls and they're business owners or small business owners or starting businesses, how can a leader benefit from that leverage to grow their business?
Well, there's a couple of things. The first thing is the leader needs to understand that you can't manage time. You can only manage what you do with the time. Everybody gets 24 hours a day, 60 minutes in every hour, 60 seconds in every minute, 30 days in a month, and 365 days a year. You can't manage it. Once it's gone, it's gone. What you can manage is what you do with that. That's the first issue. The second issue is you have to surround yourself with the right people. You know, even though you're not working for someone else, you're working for yourself, and you may not have the ability to hire these people, you need to find the people that are the best at what they do and surround yourself with them. As an entrepreneur, we also have to understand something, and that is that the first person to give wins. What do I mean by that? As a beginning entrepreneur, you don't have a lot of money. You don't have a lot of resources. But what you have is your knowledge and your expertise. Many times you're going to have to give away your knowledge and expertise to someone else to start, to get them into your network and on your team so that down the road you can both reap the benefits from each other's expertise and make more money. You know, I partnered with a couple of people when I first started my company, and I gave them my coaching knowledge and expertise for free to help them get their businesses on its feet so that I could utilize their other areas of expertise for my business. So, you know, we stayed in our lane. We shared unilaterally our expertise. There was no money transacted. But as we grew our businesses together, now we all make money and we all do very well. And we are still helping each other. And now that we're all making money, we can pay each other what we're worth to do what it is we need to get done. So as an entrepreneur, a lot of times you have to give, and you have to be willing to give to the right people. And you have to be willing to let the right people into your network to give to you.
Wow, that is phenomenal. You know, when you say that, you know, you got to be able to give to receive. You know, that is a major part of leadership, because if you're not willing to give of your knowledge, give of your value, how is the other person supposed to grow and be nurtured under your tutelage? And then be able to have that mindset to build their own niche and their own skills to what? Become a leader and be your, you know, your mentee or your protege instead of just being micromanaged. That is so awesome. You got to be able to give in order for that type of relationship to happen, for that type of growth to happen. And I think a lot of people miss that piece. What are your thoughts on the development of the leader?
Well, I think I mentioned it at the inception. A leader has to be a lifelong student. And what do I mean by that? Because, you know, somebody once asked Maya Angelou, they were talking to her and they said to her, you know what, Maya, you're so gifted. You're such a gifted poet and author. Really, we admire you so much. And she looked at them and she said, gifted? Have you ever heard of a gifted brain surgeon? She said, I'm no more gifted than a brain surgeon. And a brain surgeon is not gifted. They have gone through years of intense training and study to perfect their craft. She said, I am a lifelong student. I learn, I study, and I perfect my craft through hard work and perseverance and diligence. And what we have to remember is leadership is a learned skill. So we constantly have to work at that skill and work at that craft to perfect it. I'll give you another, for instance, okay? You know, many of us make New Year's resolutions. We're now in March, and some of our New Year's resolutions are probably still around. And we make these New Year's resolutions, and a friend of mine runs a gym, and he says in January, his membership at his gym, the numbers go through the roof. And by June, 75% of the people who joined in January are no longer there. But come January through June, they are there on a regular basis. They're very regimented. They're into it. They've got a high level of energy, and they're working out like fiercely to try to make themselves look the part or change their particular position. So they're really taking care of their bodies. And in our country, a lot of times people really – I live in South Florida, which is the land of beautiful people. Everybody's in the gym all the time working on their body. My question is, if you're going to the gym, taking care of your body, means you're eating right. You're feeding your body the right kinds of things in most instances. What are you feeding your mind? The strongest muscle in the human body is the mind. What are we feeding our mind? How many books do you read during the course of a month? How many books do you read in a year? How many hours of television do you sit down and watch that is worthless to you versus sitting down and listening to audiobooks, listening to motivational tapes, watching DVDs of business acumen, or reading books? That's what really is going to change a person's performance. If you're going to feed your mind the right things, you will get better results. If you're not willing to take the time to feed your mind, then how can you ever expect to change where you are to where you want to be? The greatest difference between where you are and success is 6 inches. You ever heard that before?
I have heard that. It's one of my favorite quotes as well.
The greatest distance between where you are and success is 6 inches, and that's the distance between your ears. It's all about feeding your mind. So that's really, I mean, to me, as I said, a leader is a lifetime student. You have to continually watch other leaders, learn from other leaders, read things on leadership, read things, depending on your industry. What makes you better in your industry? What makes you better than your competitor? Or if you're competing for a position, what makes you better than the other candidate to lead this organization? It's your knowledge. How do you gain knowledge? Through education. What is a big part of education? It's reading. Feeding your mind. Giving yourself the opportunity to go from good to great.
I love that. That's some phenomenal advice. And, you know, for me, I love to listen to audiobooks, and I love to do reading, and like you said, taking care of yourself. These are all qualities of leaders. These are habits of leaders. And for me, if you want to be a leader, if you want to be successful, what I like to do is study the habits of successful people and to emulate them and do what they're doing, and then you will get the same result. So we're at that point of our call, Baltimore. We typically wind it down for the evening. I wanted to just give you a minute and a chance to speak a little bit about your book that's coming out and let everyone know how they can get in touch with you.
Oh, absolutely. The book that I'm writing is called Leadership 52, and it's 52 key points and tips that every leader needs to understand and implement to create an environment for success. You know, I spent the last 27 to 30 years in corporate America. Actually, it was 27 years in corporate America, working with some of the greatest leaders that I have ever run into and learning from them. And I also was afforded the opportunity to lead some great teams. And what I did is I took a lot of the things that I've learned over those years and subsequently as an entrepreneur, and I've combined all of that information into a book called Leadership 52. And the premise behind it is there are 52 tips, and if you take one tip per week for an entire year, it will give you a foundation to build on to take your performance to the next level. I'm a firm believer in helping people grow from good to great. And this book, to me, is an opportunity for me to share with you some of the things that have made me successful. And I'm hoping that if you can just take 10% of what's in this book and implement it, I will guarantee you it will do some amazing things for you, because these are the things that have done some amazing things for me. As the ladies mentioned at the inception, I do have a radio show. It's called The Transformation Zone, and it's on Thursday evenings at 6:30. And there are times where I have some guests on my show, but I'm also giving people some of the tips and strategies from this book and some of the other things that I do. I've recently released a CD called Success Never Goes on Sale, which is available on my website, and you can purchase it there if you're interested. My website is zeltanshowell.com. You can also follow me on LinkedIn at Zeltan Showell. You can follow me on Facebook at Strategic Solutions LLC, which is my company. And you can follow me on Twitter at Zeltan Showell. I'm readily available and would love to have the opportunity to share with any of you. If you'd like to email me, you can email me at info@zeltanshowell.com. Let me spell my name for you. It's V as in Victor, ELTONSHOWELL.com.
Thank you so much for coming on our call tonight. I know I was taking really thorough notes, and I can't wait to read your book when it comes out later this year.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure being here and meeting both of you. And if I can ever be of help or service to you, please call on me. And I'd love for you to have to take the time down the road to join me on my show and continue our discussion and learn more about you and the people that you serve.
Absolutely. It would be our pleasure. We'll definitely keep in touch about it.
Nikita,
is there anything you want to add before we close our call down tonight?
Oh, yes. If Belton said something to you tonight that resonated with you, please find this podcast on changingmindsonline.com. You can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and, of course, our YouTube channel. And thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I truly appreciated it, and I learned so much from you tonight.
My pleasure.
Well, guys, I always like to end my portion of the call the same way and just let everyone know, in especially our audience, that we love you guys so much. We're so grateful for you. Thank you for allowing us to be part of your journey. It is really an honor, and we're humbled every week by the number of people that call in and download the podcast. We love you guys. We do this for you. It is International Women's Day, so happy International Women's Day to all our listeners out there that are women. We have something special planned for you guys on Thursday where we have our Empowering Women series. So we'll speak to you then. Have a great night, everyone.
All right. Good night.
Good night.